بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers, elders and friends, we were going every Thursday, alhamdulillah, throughout the month of Ramadan. We were covering some lessons from the Ihya Ulumuddin of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. So inshallah, today very briefly I'll mention a few important points today, and then we probably have one more Thursday in the month of Ramadan. So in the last Thursday I'll talk about the importance of just generally fasting and keeping optional fasts, just to continue this habit of fasting throughout Ramadan. Because mashallah, a lot of people throughout the year, we do not have the habit of fasting at all. And we force ourselves on special days like the 10th of Muharram, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. We force ourselves to fast, however we don't have a habit. And this is a very bad thing. This is a very unfortunate thing. That's why the Sahaba, when they would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah I'm going to discuss this next week, about, you know, Ya Rasulullah, I find it difficult to fast perpetually, continuously. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that, look, if you cannot fast consecutively or excessively, then at least fast 3 days in the middle of the month. Someone who fasts 3 days in the middle of the month, Allah Ta'ala will give them the reward as if they fasted the entire month. So it's a shortcut for us, a very easy route for us. So a person should do the bare minimum. But unfortunately, many of us, we don't even have that connection with fasting. So today, inshallah, I'm going to very quickly discuss, very briefly, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he separates the fast of people into three types. He says there are three types of people, and their fasts are of three types. He said the first type of fast is Sawmul Umum. Sawmul Umum. Sawmul Umum is the fast of the common people, the fast of the lay people. Well, the fast that a normal person keeps. Because remember last week I mentioned, Sawm, the word Sawm, fasting in Arabic, means to stay away from, to abstain, to refrain. So the Sawm of the normal person, the fast of the normal person, means to abstain from food, drink and intercourse. Food, drink and intercourse. These are the three things that the normal person stays away from, and this is enough for them, or they regard this to be sufficient. The common person, let's say 90% or 80% of the Muslims, let's say 90% of the Muslims, if not 95% unfortunately, we regard fasting to be staying away from food and drink and intercourse from dawn till dusk. This is it. This is sufficient as fasting. And at iftar time we feel, alhamdulillah, satisfied that, you know, alhamdulillah, I have completed my fast. And we feel this happiness. And rightly so, we should feel happy that we've completed a good deed. But unfortunately, we're in this kind of, this little bubble that we think staying away from food, drink and, cohabitation with our spouses, this is sufficient as a fast. But that's why he said this is what the normal people think is a fast. And then he goes on to Wasawmul Khusus, the pious servants. You have the normal people, then you have the pious servants of Allah Ta'ala, and then you have those who are the elite. He calls them the Khususul Khusus, the most elite, the Muqarrabin, those who are closest to Allah Ta'ala. What is their level of fasting? And then your average pious person, what is his level of fasting or her level of fasting? And then your common person, what's their level of fasting? So I just described the common person. Common person is fasting, doing ghibat, backbiting, doing so many other sins, not controlling the eyes when they're going out, you know, not controlling their tongue when they're speaking, not controlling their ears from listening to ghibat, bad about other people, listening to slander, listening. Sometimes we're under this misconception, I'm going to come to it now, that if I don't talk bad, it's okay. If I hear bad, it's fine. Talking and hearing is the same thing. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will regard me to be someone who engaged in ghibat from just listening to ghibat. So this is something that we have to bear in mind anyway. So this is a common person, engaging in sin all day, all night, but thinking just by me staying away from food, drink and intercourse or cohabitation or copulation, whatever you want to call it, the posh term, this is enough for me, this is sufficient a fast for me. And then he mentions the Sawmul Khusus, and then he mentions the Khususul Khusus. I'm going to start with the Khususul Khusus because most of us are not on this level. The elite of the most pious people. What does he say? He says, فَصَوْمُ الْقَلْبِ عَنِ الْهِمَمِ الدَّنِيَّةِ وَالْأَفْكَارِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ وَكَفُّهُ عَمَّا سِوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. The most elite people, the most elite, the pious, the ones who are muqarrabin, muqarrabin. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala calls them muqarrabin, closest, my closest servants. Because even in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, there's a hierarchy of His servants. We are all ibadullah, we are all the servants of Allah. Allah Ta'ala created us, Allah Ta'ala looks after us. But amongst the servants, there are those who are special in the sight of Allah. You have the Anbiya alayhim salam, the prophets of Allah, and then you have the awliya ul muqarrabun. The awliya, saints of Allah, who are very close to Him. And then you have abrar, the Arabic word abrar, just means the pious, your average pious person. That's why the spiritual saints, they used to say a phrase in Arabic, hasanatul abrar sayyiatul muqarrabin. That the abrar, the pious people, sometimes they may do something which is absolutely fine for them, because they're your average pious person. We're not even on that level, average pious person. So we're describing these people who are beyond us. Your average pious person sometimes will do something which is good for them, but that same action would be a sin for the muqarrabin. Because they are so close to Allah Ta'ala, the expectations Allah Ta'ala has from them are much higher. Their bar is set at a much higher place. And if they do not fulfill those criteria, they're going to go down. Same with the Anbiya alayhi salam, the prophets of Allah. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, he was conveying the message to his people. His people did not listen. They turned a deaf eye. They were abusive to him. They were throwing stones at him. They were doing all kinds of things to him. For years, he continued to propagate Islam. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. Till he felt to himself that these people, hopeless. He left his job. Straight away, Allah Ta'ala put him in a form of difficulty and hardship. We all know the famous incident where Ayyub alayhi salam was in the whale. Because his bar is much higher, the expectation Allah Ta'ala has from him is very, very high. You want the maqam of a prophet, you want the status of a prophet, you've got to fulfill that status. You've got to live up to that status. And as soon as Yunus alayhi salam was put in that difficulty, he realized straight away, because this is the connection that these people have with Allah Ta'ala, realized straight away that it was my fault. It was my fault. We would say, what did I do wrong? We would, even if we do 100 things wrong, when we go through some difficulty, we say, what did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. How did I go through this? And Yunus alayhi salam straight away said, Ya Allah, I know I was wrong. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This dua is misused. I mentioned it before, it's misused. Our people, they do, you know, khatams, read it 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times. But the reality of this dua, this is what's important. Yunus alayhi salam did not do this dua in Arabic. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Verbally, parrot fashion from his tongue, without any emotions from his heart. Yunus alayhi salam did this dua in his native language. And it was a dua filled with emotion, filled with guilt and regret. Oh Allah, I am so sorry, I was the one who wronged. It was filled with emotion. This emotion is what reaches Allah Ta'ala. Not just the mere words, you know, parrot fashion, parrot fashion, parrot fashion. So after namaz, you know, many times we do dua. For myself to do dua in Arabic is okay. I understand Arabic a little bit, whatever. I know what I'm saying. For us, when we should do dua, it should be in our own language. So we connect with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Of course, if we know the meanings of certain duas and we utilize them, they are the sunnah, and it's, you know, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the best dua that one could possibly recite is Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. He mentioned this is the most jami' of all the da'awat, is the most comprehensive all of the duas. You understand the meaning, you make this dua, it's fantastic. But otherwise, there should be this tadarru', keeping yourself low and humble and humility. It's only going to come when you know what you're saying to Allah. Oh Allah, I have wronged. Oh Allah, I make so many mistakes. Oh Allah, if you don't forgive me. You know, the pious people, their dua wasn't just confined to when they would lift their hands. And that's why in the sunnah we're taught, going to the bathroom, dua, coming out of the bathroom, dua, eating, dua, sleeping, dua, waking up, dua, everything, dua, dua, dua. Why? Because the pious servants of Allah, obviously starting from the Anbiya alayhim salam to the pious servants of Allah, constantly they would talk to Allah, constantly. They would talk. There are incidents about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, that one sahabi says, I was walking with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and then a tree came in between as a tree. He said, he was walking on that side of the tree, I was walking on this side of the tree. In the meantime, I heard him saying to himself, Oh Umar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take you to task on the Day of Judgment. Oh Umar, never think of yourself as someone big. You know, constantly admonishing himself, constantly putting himself in his place. One saint of Allah, Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri, was a great muhaddith, scholar of hadith. Someone says, I was on a journey with him and he had a piece of paper, and every few moments he'd take out this piece of paper and he would look at it. So I wanted to know what was on this piece of paper, because he kept taking it out, looking at it, And then he said, I went and I saw it once, and he said, on the paper all it said was, Oh Sufyan, remember that you will also have to stand in front of Allah one day. Just reminding himself, that constant reminder, reminder, reminder. So this is how the nature of these people were. They wouldn't confine conversation with Allah, reminding themselves to a particular time, but it was constant. You know, this constant engagement and attachment with the fact that I'm only in this world for a short amount of time. I'm going to die, I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, the point is that we have this hierarchy of the saints of Allah. You're a common person, then you have the saints, and then you have the elite, the muqarrabin. And there, everybody has their own different status. I'm going to very briefly mention this, and I'm going to stop here. So he mentions that the fast of the most elite of the elite. I'm going to mention this first. The most elite of the elite, their fast is, like I said, fast means to stay away. Their fast means that they, for a second, not only do they stay away from food and drink and cohabitation, stay, you know, intercourse with their spouses, at the same time, they stay away from all sins. All form of sin they stay away from. On top of that, for a second, for a momentary period, they do not let their heart become distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If their heart was to become distracted from Allah, they regard this to be a major sin. Because this is their maqam, their status. To the extent that some of those saints, Imam Zabidi mentions in the commentary of Ihya ul-Muddin, he mentions that in Iraq there were a group of saints. He said, I've met them. He said their quality in fasting was such that they regarded it to be a major sin to even think about what I'm going to eat for iftar today. They regarded this to be a major sin. Because in fast it should be, remember, all good akhlaq are reflective of Allah Ta'ala's characteristics. All good akhlaq that we have adopt, patience. Allah Ta'ala is a sabur, the most patient. So it's a reflection of Allah Ta'ala's characteristics. Generosity, if I'm generous, is a good character, it's a good quality. It's reflective of Allah Ta'ala's quality of jawad. Allah is the most generous. Every good quality that we adopt is a reflection of the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. Just a small reflection, it's nothing comparison. Allah's attributes are a whole different understanding to us. Similarly, when we are going or when we are fasting, it's supposed to be a reflection of Allah Ta'ala's quality of As-Samad, the independent one, the one who does not need anyone. So when I am going through this state of fasting, I need to feel absolutely disconnected from everybody and everything else. If I am fasting, but at the same time I'm concerned about this, I'm concerned about that, I'm concerned about food, I'm concerned about the other, then they would regard this to be a tarnished fast, a damaged fast, not a perfect fast. This was the level of the most pious saints. So he mentioned this group of saints, subhanAllah, in Iraq. He said that they regarded it to be a sin to even think about what was going to be for iftar today. Whatever comes at iftar, I'm going to eat it. If there's nothing for iftar, I'm going to have a sip of water and carry on. This was their nature, because they are trying to make their fast the best possible fast. So he said, this is the most elite. He said, in their hearts, they have no concern of the dunya. They have no evil thoughts. You know, like we have shahawat and bad thoughts. A person's fasting, well, because of the bad habits that they accumulated throughout the year, those bad habits are still affecting them in Ramadan. Thoughts and whisperings in their mind. They wouldn't even allow a single thought and whispering to come into their mind. وَبِالْفِكْرِ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا دُنْيَا تُرَادُ لِلدِّينِ. And the only time they would actually engage in worldly matters was in regards to worldly matters which were connected with deen. Fulfilling the rights of your parents, fulfilling the rights of your spouse, fulfilling the rights of your children. These are all not just dunya, but they are also part of deen and a very important part of deen. This is the only time their mind would become diverted. So he mentions this, and then very briefly speaking, then he mentions the fast of the pious servants. And I'm just going to briefly mention this, and maybe I'll explain it next week. He mentioned the fast of the pious servants. Who did I just describe? The elite. That their hearts are not even distracted for a second from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They regard this to be a major sin. And that's why, subhanAllah, you know, the pious, obviously there's a lot of negativity around attached to this word of tasawwuf and spirituality. But we can learn so many lessons from these very great saints of Allah. They have this practice. What they do is they train themselves to actually, every breath that comes out of their mouth is dhikr of Allah, even their breathing pattern. Allahu la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, their breathing pattern. They train themselves. Just so, and they're so conscious of this fact. That's why Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, the great scholar of fiqh, nobody disputes him. Nobody can say Imam Shafi'i is someone I don't accept. Unless, I don't know, you've got the wrong understanding of Islam or something. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, I sat with the Sufiya, the scholars of tasawwuf for a while. And he said, I benefited from them in two ways. One thing that they have, which is one of their biggest trademarks or their biggest signs is that they would say, Al-waqtu sayfun, illam taqtulhu qatalak. Time is a sword. If you do not slay it, it will slay you. Meaning they are so conscientious of their time, so careful about their time, so, you know, they monitor their time every single second and minute, making sure that it's spent in useful things. And this is something very important. So he mentions the fast of the pious people. He says the fast of the pious people, وَهُوَ فَهُوَ كَفُّ السَّمْعِ وَالْبَصَرِ. I'm going to mention this line briefly, explain one or two points, and I'm going to stop. فَهُوَ كَفُّ السَّمْعِ وَالْبَصَرِ وَاللِّسَانِ وَالْيَدِ وَالْرِجْلِ وَسَائِرِ الْجَوَارِحِ عَنِ الْآثَامِ. The fast of the pious is that not only do they stay away from food, drink, and intercourse, at the same time they stay away from their hearing, their sight, their tongue, their hands and feet, and the remaining parts of their body. They also make an, you know, effort to make sure that no sin or no evil, no haram comes in through those body parts. The haram is not just in your belly. Haram is not just in your belly. Haram can happen from any part of your body. Any command of Allah Ta'ala that we break is haram. And then he goes on to explain that, inshallah, maybe I'll explain these few points next week. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding, mashallah. Our brothers, today we'll be starting i'tikaf, just to be, who's starting i'tikaf today? With Imran, mashallah, with Jahangir. Shalom, mashallah. So, just a very, 1 minute, remember, i'tikaf is a very special act of worship. My dear respected brethren and elders, we need to all have this intention that Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to do i'tikaf. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, never did he used to miss i'tikaf. He would always perform it. Initially, the Sahaba mentioned in Sahih Hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to perform i'tikaf. 1 year he performed it in the first 10 days, looking for this Laylatul Qadr. Then he performed it in the middle 10 days. Then he performed it in the last 10 days, meaning the entire month was spent in i'tikaf. And then he realized that the Laylatul Qadr was in the last 10 days. And there are so many narrations like this. And in i'tikaf, you know, these last 10 days of Ramadan, starting tonight, these last 10 nights, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that he would keep his entire family members awake at night. He would wake up his whole family. Don't waste a second. Don't waste a minute. Don't let a second go by in negligence. And then she mentions, وَشُدُّ الْمِئْزَرِ. Rasulullah would tighten his belt. Meaning, like we say, I mentioned in Jummah, like we say in English, he would pull his socks up. He would exert so much effort in these last 10 days of Ramadan. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, if I was to know that in there was one day or one night in the whole year, or many of the pious servants, if I was to know there was one night in the whole year where you could get the reward of Laylatul Qadr, I would make such an effort every single night. But Allah's rahmah and Allah's blessings and mercy upon his such, Allah's only said 10 days. 10 nights, out of 365 nights, 10 nights. Just do your best in those 10 nights. Because if you get Laylatul Qadr and you manage to achieve or acquire the blessings of Laylatul Qadr, you've hit the jackpot. You've hit the jackpot. You've got so much blessings. 70 years of worship. This is the minimum. 70 years of accepted worship, this is the minimum, so much more. So we shouldn't waste these precious nights, especially the brothers in i'tikaf. You know what happens? One of our young friends was asking, you know, what to do. I said, look, don't bring your phone. Because what happens, I've seen it many times in i'tikaf. What happens is we sit down, because we don't have the habit. Spiritually, we are very, very fatigued. We get very tired very quickly. Read a portion of Quran, do a bit of dhikr, do a bit of this, bit of that. And then we're tired. And then we're bored. To be very honest and blunt, we're bored. We don't know what to do. Now we're sitting there. And now, mashallah, out comes the mobile phone. And what happens when you go on the mobile phone? Let's check if there's any important things in the family group. Oh, that's happened, this happened, that's happened. Oh, let's see if there's anything. Someone said, check this out. So let's check that out. Let's check. Shaitan's going to make us do this. We see all the time. You know, some youngsters, they sit in i'tikaf every single year. MashaAllah, noble thing. But then you go and you just see it's the entire time is being wasted. So of course, you know, we are nowhere on the level of the saints of Allah that we can just constantly be engaged in ibadat. We all need a bit of time for relaxation. So you got to fix your time of relaxation. That this is my hour or two where I'm going to talk to people, I'm going to chill out, I'm going to relax a little bit, mentally clear myself a little bit, and then I'm going to carry on with worship. So you've got to have a full plan. Every single person who's sitting in i'tikaf, we need to have a full, you know, regimen, or like a plan of what we're going to do, a timetable, a routine. That I've got 10 nights. I know these 10 nights are between me and my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I need to make a plan. What I'm going to do at this time, what I'm going to do at this time, and balance it all around your five times salah. After this salah, what am I going to do? After this salah, what am I going to do? After this salah, what am I going to do? And if you can balance it around your five times salah, you should have a good structured plan in place. And if someone struggles to have a plan, by all means, you can come and talk to me. That, you know, I've put a few things, a bit of Quran tilawat here, a bit of dhikr here, but I've got so much empty time and I don't know what to do. And inshallah, I'll help you. Come up with a plan which will benefit yourself. Remember, ibadah is not just restricted to dhikr. Subhanallah, 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 la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Khidma, helping other people, ilm, gaining and seeking knowledge, speaking good words of advice to other people, all of this falls in ibadah. I'm going to finish on this point. I hate taking too long. It's not right. It's fair on the brothers who want to worship of Allah. There was a great scholar in the past, Imam Abdul Wahhab al-Sha'rani rahmatullahi alayh. He mentions, you know, seeking knowledge, we think it to be a very small thing. He mentions that I used to seek knowledge, and you know, sometimes I used to spend hours reading books, and then I used to get a headache. Some people are very studious, they complain of migraines. Till today they complain of migraines. So he said, I used to get a headache, I used to feel very fatigued and tired. That's why I approached my sheikh, my teacher, Sheikh Zakaria Al-Ansari, Hafiz Zakaria Al-Ansari, a great Shafi'i scholar. Said, I approached him and said, Sheikh, please give me some advice. I don't know what to do. I'm reading and I'm studying and I want to be engaged in constant study, but my head starts hurting, I feel tired, and then I have to stop. Sheikh said, look, when you are studying knowledge, if you have ikhlas, then when you are studying knowledge, just make the intention that Allah will give you shifa through the study of knowledge. This is ikhlas, because many people only study knowledge is for name, fame, for showing off. But if the seeking of knowledge is done just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, there are so much benefits that can be acquired. So he said, next time you sit down to read and you feel tired, just change your intention to, oh Allah, give me shifa through my study. He said, and every time this happens now, this is what I do. I'm reading, I've read, I've been studying for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I start to feel tired, I start to feel fatigued, I start to feel like I'm losing my focus. He said, I changed my niyyah to, oh Allah, please give me shifa through my seeking of knowledge. And straight away I feel better and I just continue. So we cannot undermine, you know, these immense acts of worship. We can be, you know, we can earn reward through many different avenues. Allah Ta'ala gives us all tawfiq and understanding. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.